Hey, all you evil rogues, stop looting the graves and listen up. It's time for another episode of the Neverwinter Nights podcast, a show dedicated to the Neverwinter Nights game series, bringing you news, tips, interviews, and reviews for the community, by the community. And now, here's your host.
Hello, I'm Trey, a.k.a. Eshikon Zilo.
And I'm Jay, a.k.a. Navinka Naroda.
And I'm Michelle, a.k.a. Lisa.
What episode are we doing?
30.
30. 3-0.
How cool is that?
We're not 29 anymore.
Oh, hush.
Would you have thought we would have made it 30 episodes?
You know, that would be a difficult one to think of. I never thought we'd make 30 episodes.
Jay and I were actually talking about that earlier.
It just seems like yesterday we started.
You know what episode Michelle first joined us on?
I do.
17?
16.
Yeah, I'm only missed about one.
That's a long time ago.
You interviewed me on 13.
Well, I made it into Act 2.
Oh, cool.
Of the OC.
I haven't made it there yet, but I'm close behind you.
Did somebody tell you that?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, I made it into Act 2, and I've went through my trial. And I'm ready to start what comes at the end of the trial, which I won't give away.
Because
anybody else out there is
playing. You know, everybody else, Michelle, may have already
Michelle's sitting here behaving.
But we haven't, so.
I'm behaving.
Thank you. That's a good girl.
I'm sure there's lots of people still. What in the world was that?
That's right.
What?
Go ahead.
Did somebody's dog get loose?
I don't know, but they were barking.
Who let the dogs out?
The King Jay.
I didn't do nothing.
I was going to say, I'm sure there's lots of people still buying the OC and still playing it.
Yeah, you'd think so, especially with the Mask of the Betrayer coming out real soon. Well, this fall.
Well, considering Neverwinter Nights was out 3 years before I ever played it,
People are
still buying the discs for quite a while. I started out with the Diamond Edition.
Yep, that's what I started out with too, which is like $15 now.
Yeah. Didn't you find somewhere it was on sale for like $5 or something?
Well, GameSpot, there was a news item in the last 2 weeks that GameSpot was running like one of those Midnight Madness kind of things, and it was like $5 for the Diamond Edition. But it was only
that's
for limited
time. That's worth just buying another one just to have a new copy.
Yeah. But if they ever do that with Neverwinter Nights 2, they'll just continue to make Atari lose more money. You know, because you guys were looking at the news, we were kind of talking a little bit about this earlier before we started the show, that Atari reported losses of $70 million.
That's not good.
No, it's not.
$5 or something a share.
I wonder what that's going to mean for future games coming out.
I don't know.
I remember the article saying that they were going to start cutting administrative headcount.
Yeah, it says that they announced in May that they're going to be cutting 20% of their workforce, mainly admin roles to, quote, reduce general and administrative costs, unquote.
Wow.
So were you able to get to the website, to the news article?
Yeah, I have the page still up.
Okay.
Well, Shrink drives that for you at shrinkster.com/QRW, and we've been having a little trouble getting to those links right now, but hopefully it's just a temporary thing. So,
hey, can I do a little improv on Mod Spotlight?
Sure, go right ahead.
All right, I have downloaded and started playing a Neverwinter Nights module called Color of Light, and I just wanted to say that it is really good. It's the second part of a series, and the story is phenomenal. And for anybody who is still playing modules in Neverwinter Nights 1, should go check it out.
Does it require a CEP or anything like
that? No. Hordes of the Underdark, and it does have some hack pack files that download right from the site. So.
Color of Light?
Color of Light.
Who wrote it?
I don't know.
Well, make sure you get us the link to that so we can stick it in the show notes. So that
well, I'm getting it. I have it bookmarked. Okay. 1 second.
Okay. Well, you can send it to us at the end of the show.
Yeah. I guess I should have paid attention to who did it.
Speaking of Neverwinter Nights 1, we're going to have our second Gallowsburg event this Saturday.
Yes, we are. I'm all excited. I'll be introducing a new character into the mix.
What's his name going to be?
Elador Mordekeen. He's a elf ranger who likes to kill goblins. That's his,
he hates goblins.
Yeah,
it's
his favorite enemy is godly goblins.
Oh, I need to do a correction. It's called Island Adventures, The Color of Light, version 1.07, done by Lady... Oh, man, this isn't fair. I think they do this just so we can't pronounce
That's
the name.
That's a funny name, Lady. This isn't
fair. capital O-O-N-A-G-H. And Lord Alex.
Onaya?
Yeah, Onaya.
There's no at the
Ona?
End.
Ona?
Ona, maybe? Yeah, Lady Ona and Lord Alex.
Or Una.
It was released in the end of 2006.
Islands of Adventure. Hmm.
We have a reputation for mispronouncing things, so we're just going to go all out.
You know, hopefully in this episode, I still have to have it blessed by Ben. But, you know, I interviewed Ben Winionet Housie.
Yeah, that's easy to say.
You should have heard me butcher his name at the beginning. I did say it just now because I have it written down. Their pronunciation.
Now, looking forward to hearing the interview. I think it's going to be really good.
I do have to get him to bless it before we can publish it, though.
Okay.
So hopefully that'll be done by Friday.
This whole ministry podcast is okay. I
plan on working on that tonight and getting it to him tonight.
Cool. In other news, you guys have been keeping up with the Nevermore Nights 2 community update?
Yeah, I was reading that
They're
earlier.
Talking about patch 107 coming out, and there's going to be a lot of DM console commands added to it, and a lot of scripts, a bunch of scripts.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to go into the list. It's just too long. The biggest thing on the community update that I thought was really cool was the...
Give gold.
Mask of the Betrayer camera changes.
Yeah, that was very interesting.
Yeah,
two different modes of character
yeah.
and strategy.
The character mode, the camera's going to follow behind and over the shoulder of the currently controlled character. So it's going to be useful for a good look at the surrounding or exploring an area while focused on controlling just that one character.
I tell you, I've been getting better at using the camera with the OC. And I've been playing not from a top-down view.
Right.
But from, and not right behind the shoulder, but kind of in somewhere in between. And it does make it more exciting because you kind of don't know what's around the next corner or over the next hill.
I really wish.
But if you want to, you can come up to, say, a corner or a hill and then kind of peek around it, you know, kind of like in real life.
Right. I really wish they would have.
I play like that also, but I play very zoomed out.
So
I always know what I play.
You're
zoomed
not full
out
God mode. You're kind of at an angle. So kind of getting back to the camera changes in the Mask of the Betrayer, we talked about the character mode. I mentioned that one. The strategy mode is going to be more of the top-down mode, maybe what you were talking about, Lisa. It's a little more top-down, and its intention is for using and controlling the full party easier.
Did you really just call me Lisa?
I think I did. Michelle, this may be the one what you're looking at, the strategy mode. Did you also know that the E3 just started this week?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, that's,
not until I read your post.
That's the game conference that is a sequel to E2.
Is that in Los Angeles?
No, I'm kidding.
That was funny.
Yeah.
I just got that. It sounds like it's going to be not as big as it usually is.
No, it's kind of scaled down.
Invitation only or something.
Yeah, it's scaled down a lot from what it was in the past. I don't think there's as many open passes, or if there even is open passes.
They're doing a more exclusive invitation this year. I think there's a max of like 5,000 people coming.
And we didn't get any, so we just don't write, I guess.
That's because we work for free.
If you can call this work.
Okay, we goof off for free.
Well, if you want to know more about the E3 going on, and I'm sure that Atari and them are there spending lots of their $17 million losses to promote their new games, you can check that out by going to shrinkster.com/QRY And I don't remember, but I don't think I gave you the one for the Obsidian Community Update, so I'll give you that one too right quick. It's the http://shrinkster.com/QRX Quebec Romeo X-ray.
I don't remember seeing Atari on the list.
Are they not?
No.
I think so.
Well, good, because they're losing money. They don't need to be there.
Are you running Vista?
No, I'm not. But I'm thinking about buying a new laptop. And so I've been doing a little research. And
I think NWN1's going to run on it?
I don't know. I've seen a lot of forum posts out there, people posting that they have been having trouble getting Neverwinter Nights 1 running on Microsoft Windows Vista. So I thought we would put it to our listeners and find out who is running Neverwinter Nights 1 on Vista. And if you have tips on how to get it to run, email them to us so we can put them on the show.
Hello, my name is Tony, a.k.a. Undarian, and I'm the author of the Sanctum of the Archmage module series. Sanctum of the Archmage is a single-player linear role-playing series written in the form of an interactive story. It features a complex and original plot set in a custom world, strong writing and scripting, and companions with richly drawn personalities and romance options. Sanctum of the Archmage is based on the backstory to a novel of the same name that I am writing. It is set in a custom world in the Kingdom of Carlissa, a land that has been conquered by an evil warlord called the Black Magus and his army of summoned demons. In it, the player assumes the role of the protagonist of the saga, a mysterious figure with an unusual gift of prophecy who becomes known as the Miracle Worker. Through the course of events, he becomes the close friend and ally of the deposed Princess of Carlissa, now the only surviving member of the royal family. Together, they learn that his unique ability may be the only hope left for defeating the demons and their master. And they learn some shocking truths about the history of the world, and about a cosmic battle between good and evil that has been going on for thousands of years. The first chapter in the series, titled The Sight, was developed for Neverwinter Nights 1. It is available for download from the Neverwinter Vault, where it was inducted into the Hall of Fame in November 2006. Chapter 2 of the series, The Miracle Worker, is currently under development in Neverwinter Nights 1 and should be released in the late fall of 2007. Chapters 3 and 4 of the series will be in Neverwinter Nights 2 and should be released sometime in 2008. For more information about the module series and associated writing projects, please visit my website at www.undarian.net. That's A-N-D-A-R-I-A-N. And my blog at sanctum.undarian.net.
For this episode, we are honored to get to talk to one of the premier community members, Ben Winniut Huzzy, a.k.a. BGP Hughes. He's had his hand in four, soon to be five, Hall of Fame Neverwinter Night modules in multiple versions: Birthright of the North, Wanderers 1 and 2, Wavering Crown of Cormyr, and Tales of the Sundering Prelude. He wrote, designed, and produced Wavering Crown for DLA in the Premium Mod Program. His Tales of the Sundering was produced with the Hall of Fame Guild. He's also created three tutorials on Neverwinter Nights 2, and these can be found on the Vault and the DLA forums. Ben also keeps busy as a community rep and beta tester on NWN2 and as a Vault reviewer. So put your swords away for a while and learn more about Ben's very interesting world.
Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and maybe your work and what you like to play?
Okay, I'm 35 years old. I'm living here in Athens, Greece. I'm working in a multinational in marketing. It's not really my first love, I have to say, but, you know, needs must. I was originally I was a marine biologist. I used to work with sharks out in the Bahamas for a couple of years.
Oh, wow, that's so exciting.
Yeah, that was a little bit more interesting than what I'm doing now, I have to say. But after I'd done that for a while and I was looking for, you know, real work that pays in that field, it didn't really come my way. So I moved on and ended up actually for a couple of years being an accountant for an insurance company, which was kind of my idea of hell, but I managed to get myself out of that. And ever since I've been doing kind of a mix of marketing by day and IT by night, or, you know, or via consulting. So I like to keep myself busy. I think that's that's the way to put it.
Sounds like it.
I got myself involved with the Neverwinter Nights sort of community since, well, I guess since year dot, actually, because I remember the ancient boards that used to crash and run at, you know, 1 mile an hour. I think back in 99 or something, so I've been pretty keen on this game.
Wow.
for a long time.
Yeah, you've been a steady contributor to the Neverwinter Nights community, and you've donated several creatures and script modifications. Can you tell us a little bit about those and where we can find them?
Yeah, I mean, as you say, a slow and steady contributor. I've dipped my fingers into a few bits and pieces. I did a series of scripts quite early on when I was really learning the scripting language. I went through David Gaider's excellent tutorials and basically learned the language from those. And I developed a few scripting systems that actually even to this day I still use modified versions of. And I released them to the vault. I called them the Easy Building series. They were just a kind of set of utility scripts for beginners, really, nothing particularly advanced, just to allow you, you know, when you first start building modules, you come across so many scripts where you think, oh, somebody must have done this before, I don't want to go through the pain of testing it. So I did a series of those, and I released them to the vault, and, you know, they kind of sit there, and a few people download them now and then. I also did a couple of creature modifications, not customized models. I'm not that technically gifted, unfortunately, but in terms of behavioral scripting for a couple of different types of creature, they were from modules actually that I'd built, and they're quite a lot of fun. One of them was for a creature that's afraid of magic, so it basically runs away when you cast spells at it, which can be quite fun when, in one case where someone actually playing my module was asking why it kept running away every time it drank a healing potion. Which is quite, not really an intended side effect, but.
What was that creature called?
It was called a slang spawn. It's one of several different, sort of creatures in the family, spawn family, which comes from my own world that I've created, alongside my brother, which has been developed for about 25 years now.
Wow.
And there's a whole bunch of, you know, unique creatures to it, and these are one set that are developed from basically experiments of ancient druids or ancient wizards, depending on the exact variant. And these are the results of magical experiments.
Interesting. That's cool. Well, you mentioned some tutorials. So you've written some NWN2 tutorials?
Yeah, I did a few tutorials for Neverwinter Nights. When I was doing the beta testing, I quickly realized actually that the documentation on Neverwinter Nights 2 was better than nothing. It was certainly better than the documentation we got on Neverwinter Nights 1 toolset here in Europe anyway, but it still left just an enormous amount of learning to do when you first open the toolset. So one of the things that I tried to do, and I think some other people did rather better than I did, was to make sure that I got a couple of tutorials out reasonably early just to help people with a few design tips in building both interior areas and also more difficult, I think, for people who had moved from Neverwinter Nights 1 to build exterior areas and moving away from the kind of the tile-based building that we were all comfortable with. The other thing that I did was build a quick tutorial to help people get started with the visual effects editor, because I found this a really great addition, actually, to the Neverwinter Nights franchise. Mm-hmm. And it's really versatile, but my God, it's just incredibly opaque. You know, when you first look at it, it's a foreign language to me anyway. So I wanted to try and help, you know, break that open and make it a little bit easier for people to get started on it. Again, I don't pretend to be a professional, but I think it's enough to help people get started.
Where can you find these tutorials?
Originally, actually, I posted them on the DLA site, but we had some problems with the picture gallery, so all of them have been also posted on the vault. Under the tutorial section. And there are some links. I've posted some links up in the BioWare boards as well for tutorials, and it's in amongst those as well.
I guess just about everything you want to find is on the vault, huh?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's the one-stop shop these days, isn't it? I remember in the past, and I. With Neverwinter Nights, Stratix, and places like that, but actually the vault kind of ended up being the place to go, except for multiplayer games with the connections was good as well.
Well, you've written.
It's a one-stop shop.
Yeah. Well, you've written 4 Hall of Fame NWN modules in multiple versions. I guess soon to be 5.
Yeah, probably soon to be 5. I never remember how the Hall of Fame criteria work now, but I think. The Tales of the Sundering Prelude is probably going to get into the Hall of Fame fairly shortly. Very much labors of love. I mean, 3 of them are... the first one I built actually with my brother, which was Birthright of the North.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which was very well received, somewhat to my surprise, I must admit. And then I wrote a couple in the Wanderer series, which really was my own labor of love. And then, of course, Whip and Crown of Cormyr, which I was the writer / designer / producer on. So, it's I've really enjoyed making modules for Neverwinter Nights, and sometimes I wish I had a little bit more time to produce, you know, even more of them. But maybe I'm getting a little bit burnt out on that front now.
So, which one of those holds a special place in your heart?
Well, they're all unique in their own special way. I was trying to achieve slightly different things with each of them, but I think that the one that feels most special to me is the Wanderer, because for me the Wanderer is really the kind of module that I want to play, and that is a module which is not linear, that allows you to really affect the world or the people that you interact with. It has a whole opinion system which basically all of the way that people interact with you, the NPCs interact with you, sort of ranges from hate to love. And anything in between based on the actions that you do for them and actually for their friends as well. And combined with that, I really enjoyed sort of getting to grips properly with the scripting. I mean, I'd been working hard on Birthright, but I never felt I was really very good at it. And I think that shows in large chunks of Birthright, whereas in The Wanderer, really I think I'd come on quite a long way. And it came out of a better module. Hmm. And the third reason I think was because it's based in this world of mine and my brother's, and that has really allowed me to leverage my own imagination. Although not everything in there can adapt well to D&D, it certainly was a lot of fun to do it, and even to this day I can't help but add the odd bit to it here and there.
Cool. Well, I know the Crown is single player. Are all these single player modules, or?
No, they're not actually. I mean, Birthright and both of the Wanderer modules can be played multiplayer.
Okay. So you can set up your own server with them.
They're designed basically for single party play. You know, you can have a group of guys go through it, and a few people have gone through it on multiplayer. I mean, the truth is, designing a module to be both single and multiplayer is really quite a lot more difficult than building just for single player. And one of the real drawbacks actually of building multiplayer modules is that you get feedback on it much less regularly, so bugs and issues and faults that come out in a multiplayer setting take that much longer to track down and squash. So
makes sense.
Definitely as it goes through the different iterations, you know, the single player part gets more polished much more quickly than the multiplayer part does. But yeah, I mean, I designed them actually so that I could play them with a couple of friends of mine. So I've been through them. I've been through all of the multiplayer as well.
So speaking of, you know, playing those modules, kind of briefly tell us what kind of players those modules are designed for.
Role
playing or? Or is it better for a party of 4 to be going through, or how does
you know? Work? I think they'd probably be more fun for a party of 4, because I think, especially Birthright, which was a little bit light, I think, on the role playing side. It was really a discovery mod. I mean, it was absolutely enormous. It was a 40-hour mod with a lot of areas, and at that time, about a year after the Neverwinter Nights came out, it was very much by itself in that category. You know, it was kind of a Baldur's Gate style. Where do you fancy going? Off you go and see what you find. And that I think would be fun for a party. But I think it's okay if it's that kind of, if you like that kind of module, it's good fun to play singly, and you know, it has a lot of fans. It has a lot of detractors as well. The Wanderer is kind of similar, but it's a little bit tighter. The two story threads that run through it are much more, they're much tighter and much easier to sort of follow, and they're much more bound into the module. It still is very freeform in that, you know, you don't just arrive and become the central hero from day one. You pretty much have to work your way for it. And that doesn't work for everybody. But I like to develop a character and take the time to roleplay them, and I think that's what The Wanderer does best. What I did in the second one, actually, in The Wanderer 2, was something a little bit different. I concentrated on, at that time it was just after Shadows of Unwintide had come out, and what I wanted to do was, I knew that a lot of stuff was coming out in Hordes of the Underdark which would make companions a lot brighter than they had been. Up till then, the AI had been so bad that I couldn't face writing henchmen, because, you know, you could have this intelligent, suave, sophisticated wizard or someone talking to you in conversation, and the next minute they'd be running headlong into combat to get themselves chopped up. So it just, you know, it just didn't work for me. I just felt that the role-playing was too easily broken. Yep. But by the time the Hordes of the Underdark came out, there was a lot more functionality that had been added to henchmen that made them a lot more intuitive and easy to use, and more easily developed in you know, giving them backstories and so on, and allowing them to make interjections and so forth, without being a genius at scripting, which meant that in The Wanderer 2, what I wanted to do was build for a single player, although you could, again, multiplayer, the experience of going in with a party. So I spent a lot of effort trying to make sure that the four or five companions you can take with you, they all interact with you and with each other a lot. And then on top of that, I was looking for a kind of Fellowship of the Ring experience, Minds of Moriah, if you like. So I built basically an underground dungeon, which was very heavily themed on Tolkien, but, you know, with a different spin of its own, so you didn't know what was coming. Right. And then, of course, Wyvern Crown of Cormyr is, totally different kettle of fish. It's built to BioWare specs, if you like. Obviously, we get a lot of freedom in terms of exactly what we want to put in it, but there are a lot of restrictions which make designing it considerably, you know, more difficult in many ways. Some of the calls that are made on that are a shame. No romance, for example, is something that which I think was a shame for Wyvern Crown. It would have been nice to put that in, but that was definitely something that BioWare or Wizards of the Coast wanted us to steer away from. But in terms of what we were trying to do with that module was really capture the Forgotten Realms setting and make it come alive for those who were passionate about it, as well as allow, obviously, to showcase castles and horses, which were the two really big pieces of custom content that were in it.
Yeah, I was going to say that one introduced the mounts, didn't it?
Yeah. Horses. I mean, I tell you, those things were an absolute nightmare. They were such a headache for us. Yeah. But I think it was worth it in the end. But there were a lot of times when I was looking at it and I was going, God, can't we just cut the bloody horses? I tell you, seriously, the amount of development time that the horses took was just astonishing. Oh, really? And when you stop to think about it, you suddenly realize how much more complex they are than you first thought. You know, we all think, great, we'll just have a horse that walks along behind us and you get on it occasionally and you ride into combat and off you go. But when you stop to think about it, you have to start thinking about what you do with your horses when you go indoors. You know, what about halfling getting on the same size horse as a half orc? What do you do with the size of the horse and, you know, this kind of stuff?
Yeah, you got to tie your horse off or it'll run off.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we even had a quest based on the fact that if you didn't look after your horses, they got stolen. But, when you started to think about it, and these, you know, horses don't really exist either. They're actually a kind of smoke and mirrors effect, if you like. When you're not on them, they're a real object, they're a real creature. And when you are on them, they're actually part of your own phenotype. So this adds a lot of complexity because you have to keep sort of, you know, destroying and recreating this horse. And eventually, in order to get it really to work, because we had a lot of, you know, amusing bugs where people would be walking around with the horses parked on their heads. In order to get this to actually work, we had to get, you know, BioWare to make some amendments to the actual engine code in order to make it happen. But yeah, that was a long journey, I tell you, getting those damn horses into Wyvern Crown.
Well, I haven't played the Crown yet, but I did download. I guess we had a listener call in one time, or not call in, but he wrote in on our forums that there was a new module out for like 5 to 7 year olds to play with,
yeah.
And it had it had what are called ponies, which were the horses, in
uh-huh.
it. And so me and my 7 year old, we played that together, and she just loved that, being able to ride the horse around, and that was kind of cool. It came out probably about 6 months ago.
All right, yeah.
It was a kind of a new module.
I think that was probably about the time where I thought I'd better have a bit of a break.
Yeah.
I know that the CEP guys included the horses from, I think it was an Italian team who'd done some horses, but, you know, I'll be honest, I didn't go and check them out. I just couldn't face looking at another horse.
You had enough of those horses, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. No more horses for me. Anyone else me to write a Neverwinter Nights 2 module with horses, I think I'm gonna run screaming.
Oh, no.
It came good in the end. I mean, that's the important thing, is that actually, you know, we were all pretty pleased with the end result.
What would be cool is if you could ride dragons.
Well, you know, we started playing around with the technology. I mean, TK, who's working now at BioWare, was working on how to make, you know, other things rideable, and it is doable. It just, sadly, Neverwinter Nights 1 had kind of come to the end of its, you know, retail life, let's put it that way. I'm sure there's still quite a lot of life in terms of modding and so forth. And it just, time investment for a lot of guys, I think, you know, it was enough. People have burnt out. They wanted to move on to Neverwinter Nights 2. Some people have gone on to do other things. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff actually that I saw that's knocking around that never saw the light of day, which is kind of a shame, really.
Mm. It was The Missing Dragon is what it's called.
Ah, okay.
And you're whoever's going to play your child or whatever, they can play as Fiona in one version of the module, and then if they want, they can create their own character, you know, just like normal any other module.
Yeah.
And
I think it's amazing actually when you look at the community, the kind of diversity of content that's served up, you know, for every niche, from, you know, kids content to educational content to, you know, persistent worlds and so on. It's astonishing, I think.
It was kind of cool. She came out of her room. She met up with her sister, and they came out into the main room, and their parents were out there, and they said that, okay, we're going to have to leave for a while. We need you to go find all these jewels. And these jewels were hidden all over there was like 4 or 5 areas to the whole module. And so that was the main quest, or epic quest, or whatever you want to call it, was to go find all of those. All of the.
It worked well for her? She found it good?
She loved it. Yeah, she loved it.
Yeah. That's cool.
Kept us busy for about 3 or 4 hours one Saturday.
Ah, that's good. What I need, I need a module like that for a 17-day-old baby. That's what I really need at the moment.
I don't know if there's anything like that. Well, I guess that, you know, as everyone knows, you wrote and designed and produced, you know, Wyvern Crown for DLA and the premium module. So how did you get that gig, and, you know, what was it like?
Okay, well, I mean, first of all, how I got involved actually was I was invited actually to come and help on the project. At the time I was working, I was doing some solo modding, but I was also working for the Hall of Fame Guild. We were building actually at that time the Tales of the Sundering, some of which has come out and some of which probably will never come out unless I can keep lobbying. And Robert Triffs, the director at DLA, sent me an email and asked me if I'd be interested in writing a premium module. I said yes, with caveats actually, because I was already involved in something that at that time was a potential premium module and later got cancelled. But I thought that it sounded like an interesting project, and I definitely had my, you know, I was definitely feeling pretty open-minded about it. I knew of DLA, but I didn't know many of the folks who worked there. So I came over to the IRC channel, and I had a chat with some of the folks involved. Mm-hmm. And there are some amazing people in that group. It's an amazing gathering of talent. And it didn't take me long actually to feel like, yeah, this is something that I could definitely do, and I would definitely enjoy. It was a lot of work, that's for sure, but it was pretty rewarding in the end. We had a roller coaster ride, what with, you know, being on and then being cancelled and being on and then being cancelled again and, you know, this kind of stuff. But it was a great experience. I have to say it was a great experience. I was working with really professional people, both obviously at BioWare, but obviously within DLA itself. And there are some folks in that team that are, you know, I really admire because they've got the skills that I just haven't got, you know, and I'd love to have, you know, like how to make tiles or how to do animations and stuff like that. So,
well, you know, we got to interview Robert Trift, or Jay did, I guess, in our 28th episode.
Yeah.
Did you get to listen to that?
Yeah, I caught it actually today. I was having a listen to it today, yeah. Yeah, Rob's been leading DLA for pretty much since it started, and we worked pretty well together on that project, and hopefully in the future we'll be doing some more work.
Cool. So you're also a community rep and beta tester for NWN2. So what is that like?
Beta testing was interesting. I don't know, interesting and frustrating in equal measures, I guess, because it's such a privilege to be allowed to go and beta test on a commercial game, and that's it's a super opportunity, and I think too many people who get into the beta tests forget what a privilege it is, and they can become a little bit gripey and so on. But then the frustration side is that, you know, you do find a lot of stuff that you think is, you know, top of the list of priorities that needs to get fixed, you know, yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't all get fixed. That's that's life, you know. And you better get used to that. But on the other hand, when you see some of the things that you flagged up, especially if it's an improvement rather than a bug, and you see it going into the retail version, that really does feel good,
yeah,
and it makes you feel like you've contributed something special. And really, the repping side came out of that. Just speaking to the guys at Obsidian while in the beta testing. I was invited to help out on the repping side with some of the other guys, which again, you know, is a great honor, and I've really been enjoying it. Although I must admit, I feel like I don't pull my own weight these days because the last couple of months it's been.
I think you have a good excuse.
Yeah, well, I'm hoping so. I'm just waiting for Rob to send me an email saying, "Ben, you know, we don't need your services anymore. You're too quiet."
Oh no.
But I like to think that. I think the other guys are covering for me. You know, I'm just keeping my head down.
Cool. So you're also an NWN Vault reviewer, or I guess you used to be.
Yeah, I still am. Actually, we just published it last week, the review of Subtlety of Fae, which is a great module for Neverwinter Nights 2. And if you haven't played it, go and download it. It's a super mod. And I joined the guild actually back in Feb. I think it was February. Just because I was feeling a little bit of a loose end, I'd started building some stuff for Neverwinter Nights 2, and for reasons that I can't really go into, that kind of died off. So I thought, well, you know, I want to make sure that I'm making some kind of contribution to Neverwinter Nights 2. So apart from the repping side, I thought I can do some reviewing. That's something I can usefully do with the limited time that I've got at the moment. And that's a lot of fun, actually. There's a lot of dedicated guys and girls, I should say, because there's a lot of girls in the guild reviewing mods. And it's great when you review a mod, you get other guys and girls in the team who also do peer reviews, and you check to make sure that you've got sort of at least a similar score, even if you haven't got that similar views on a module.
Mm-hmm.
And that's turned out to be a lot more fun than I thought it would. I thought it would be a little bit, you know, me sitting at my computer writing reviews in a hot office, but actually there's a social side to it, and that's great.
Cool. So how do you do the reviews? You play through the module and then write a review? Is that how it works?
Yeah, basically. I mean, there's most of the time the module builders submit their modules for review, and we go to the review queue and we pick one off the list and off we go to review it. Neverwinter Nights 2, I think, because it's a new feature for people, and a lot of people didn't come from the Neverwinter Nights 1 community. We've actually been requesting to review mods in order to, you know, keep having stuff to do while we wait for people to submit them. And Then
I know how that feels.
Yeah. We just, and I just download it. We play it through. Usually, try and play it a couple of times, actually, because I think you get a better feel for a module that way. You can play a different couple of different classes. Play through the whole module a couple of times. Maybe play a few little sections that merit checking out some alternatives. Then what I usually do is when I finished it is I then open up the tool set, I check through to see what sort of things that I was missing, have a look at alternative dialogue options that I could have taken, make sure I understand where scripts were used, where skills were used, and where they weren't, because it, you know, it's not always obvious. And then we sit down and write the reviews, and the reviews actually, we have a template which has a pretty strict set of guidelines to make sure that we review them in a consistent style.
Well, that makes
and
sense.
Over the years, the reviews have been a lot more consistent, and there are some really experienced folks on the team, you know, to help out when you're doing your first couple of reviews and you don't really know exactly where you want to be. Actually, the first module that I reviewed, which was called A Better Corpse, was a very unusual module, and for me that was a really challenging to review, actually, because, you know, I just didn't know how to benchmark it. It was kind of psychedelic, and it was one of those love-hate modules that if you really went for that kind of thing, you would love it. And if most other people would open it and probably close it within 5 minutes. So this was tricky to review. But, yeah, it's been a lot of fun, actually.
So it sounds like you open them up and kind of dissect them.
Yeah, you do a bit. And you have to be, you know, you have to be responsible because you're reviewing for other people that want to play the module and you're not reviewing for the author. But at the same time, you know, having built mods myself, I know that there are tips I can give out, of course, which people can take on board if they want to or not, take it or leave it. But more importantly, I think, I understand, having built stuff, the kind of respect. I feel a lot of respect for some of the stuff that I see, which is, you know, frankly, quite a lot better than some of the stuff I produce. And I like to also try and make sure that whilst the review is fair, it really caters for those that want to play it. But at the same time, you have to bear in mind that, you know, you're writing about someone's work, and it's free work that someone's put a lot of time and effort into.
Right.
And I think, you know, that's why the peer reviewing system at the Guild is so great, because it really helps us to speak with one voice and be consistent about how we treat modules. You know, and it's tough, especially if the module's not very good. When the module's good, it's easy, but when it's not, it's really tough. And so far, I haven't had any real duds yet, so I don't know what I'm going to do when I get that first that first killer.
So how do you find time for all this? Do you sleep?
Well, actually, not much at the moment, as it turns out. I've got Anna, that's my newborn daughter. She doesn't sleep at night, so that doesn't look like I have many options. But in seriousness, I don't know. I've just maybe the last couple of years, I've been a bit obsessive, actually, to be perfectly honest.
Oh, really?
Yeah, my wife had to do without me basically for the entirety of the production of Wyvern Crown of Cormyr. And she was really patient, and, you know, it was kind of Oscar's style, but, you know, she was just incredible to put up with it, to be perfectly honest.
That's
people
good.
Were calling me at, you know, 4 a.m. or 6 a.m. when we were in crunch mode, because guys are based in the States or the Philippines or Germany or, you know, Finland or wherever. And every time we got close to a deadline, there was the inevitable, you know, panic, something wasn't working, we need to call each other, you know, or Atari were calling about something. So, you know, she really put up with a lot. But, yeah, I mean, I'm one of those really annoying people who just, you know, I just look at my watch too much and I think, ah, I mustn't waste time, I must do something. You know? So so I tend to just keep producing things.
Cool.
I can't really help it.
So, you know, you're one of the premier community members, you know, that helps keep NWN alive. What do you attribute that to?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm not sure if I'd call myself one of the premier community members, but I don't know. I think of myself as just, you know, I'm just a grafter in reality. I work hard and I try and produce the kind of stuff that I would like to use or play myself. And I don't really make any apologies for what I make, but at the same time, I don't set out to rubbish other people's work or, you know, hate the things that I don't enjoy myself. And I think I've sort of become known over time probably partly because I keep you know, contributing stuff, and you know, people mm-hmm. just can't avoid it after a while. If you keep putting stuff in front of them, maybe just tar them out.
Hey, there's something but else I from think, Ben.
Yeah, exactly. Oh God, he's got another one. When did that come up? But I think it's partly because I have probably targeted a particular niche of player, which is someone who likes replayable mods, who doesn't like to play, or likes to play non-linear, put it that way, even though Wooden Crown was much more linear because it was a premium mod. The other mods were very much non-linear, mm-hmm. and that really suited, especially at the time they came out, there really weren't many of those around. And that was refreshing for people in the same way as, you know, a modern setting module or the first persistent world was very refreshing for people, and they kind of came to fame there. I don't know if it's because I'm any more talented or not. I think I've had a lot of luck. I mean, I was featured in a couple of magazines early on in the Neverwinter Nights days. One of the BioWare interviews, they mentioned Birthright of the North, and you know, this kind of stuff. And I think it was just right place, right time. You know, I wasn't in the first tranche of the big names like Adam Miller and Stefan Gagne and people like that. Mine just sort of crept up on people, and you know, before they knew it, you know, they had it on their hard drive.
Cool. So what do you have planned for the future? Anything you can tell us? Are you going to be involved in the expansion in any way?
Well, I've got a few things on my plate at the moment, both professionally and on the sort of amateur side. I think there's a lot of stuff I can't talk about. You know, it's, mm-hmm. that's the way it is always with the
Understood.
A lot of non-disclosure agreements with, you know, several different companies. But the stuff I can talk about, I think it's true that I'm probably not going to be building anything for Neverwinter Nights or Neverwinter Nights 2 in the next 3 to 6 months because I'm pretty busy in my personal life. But I'm definitely going to be...
Dude, if you have a newborn, it's going to be like 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, yeah. Well, one of my work said, what are you talking about, 3 months? You're talking about 6 years. Wake up. but I'm going to still keep my, you know, I'm going to still keep my hat in the ring, so to speak, and I'm going to carry on doing the reviewing, and you know, I just want to make myself available to help people who think that, you know, it's going to be useful that cool. I can help.
Well, speaking of the project, I'm sorry, go on.
One of the projects that's in the works is something called the Academy of Modding Excellence, which is again something that, while we're settling exactly how it works, I'm not going to go into too much detail, but essentially mm-hmm. it's a group of community folks who are going to sort of provide Oscar style, I guess, awards for different types of modules and custom content.
Oh wow!
I think what makes it a little different from the Mod of the Year contest or from the Review Guild work is that it really it's supposed to be. I have to put this a little bit carefully, but. People who are supposed to be respected in the community giving, trustworthy views. And in order to get to that kind of state, what we're looking for is a selection of people in the academy who are going to be not just builders of modules, but also builders of custom content. And perhaps most importantly, a group of people who have actually played, you know, nearly all the modules out there.
Wow.
And I think that you know, I'm not one of those, I have to say, but
right.
I think, you know, I really respect these people who've played, you know, 400 or 500 or 600 modules.
Like Steve Savecki.
Yeah, yeah. There's more than a few, and you know, these dedicated folks who produce the, you know, the Overlook modules threads and stuff like that. I mean, I'm not going to mention names about who's in and who's not because that's all going to come out soon enough. But yeah, I mean, these guys work hard in a totally different way, and maybe you could say that they don't get as much recognition as perhaps they deserve, because they're definitely putting back into the community in much the same way as I am or Adam Miller or one of the big you know, teams that are producing modules.
Cool. So speaking of how people can, you know, maybe get in touch with you or find out where you're lurking, how could they do that? If they, you know, if somebody has any questions or anything for you.
Well, I'm lurking pretty much all over the place, actually, off and on. The best place usually to find me is in the IRC channels, and of those, the most regular one to get hold of me is in the NWN2 Rep channel. I'm often in there European evening hours.
Okay.
Other ways to get me, you can private message me either on the DLA forums or on the Review Guild forums. Or just drop a comment on one of my module pages. I'm usually checking them every couple of days, even now. So,
okay, cool.
Or a private message on the bio boards or on Obsidian forums as well. So, you know, basically I'm lurking pretty much everywhere.
Well, Ben, hey, it was great to get to talk with you. I feel a privilege to be able to do that. So I do want to thank you for, I know your time is precious, and just want to thank you for taking the time to take an hour, you know, and talk with me. So
it's been a pleasure, and it's nothing, mate.
You guys will notice if you go to the website, we've got a few new things going on there. We've got a new forums link that's kind of up. The old forums are still there, but we're going to be migrating to a new one. So there's going to see a new link called NWNP Forums New. And check that out. Give us some feedback there. It is a new module for WordPress that we're going to use, that looks to be better than what we had before. Plus, it also gives us the ability to move some of our show preparation to this forum and a couple of private forums, which we weren't able to do with the existing one. So check that out. And
I have a question.
Feedback. Yes, sir.
In our post, in the show notes post that you did in the new forum, yeah, all the links that you put in here, the yeah, URLs.
I was going to talk to you about that.
Do you see
but
those?
Not during the show. No. Probably got to stop.
I only see them when my mouse goes over them.
Yeah, okay. I was hoping that was just me, but
there's a style sheet with a module we'll have to check to fix to do that. So,
oh,
I just haven't had a chance to do that.
I thought it was psychedelic
because I spent my whole lunch today installing this new one.
It's mouse braille. You have to feel around for it.
Alrighty. It's like a what?
Mouse braille.
Keeping you guys on topic like herding cats.
Oh, God.
Hey, has anybody used our donate button lately?
Well, if we keep talking like this, they probably never will.
That was good.
We have a donate button on there for those of you who have expressed interest in financially supporting us in this effort, because as you can tell, we don't have sponsors giving us money, and we don't get paid to do this. So we've added some text on the About page that tells a little bit more about that. If you check out our About page, donate $200 to Cherry's providing subliminal messages. So I just wanted to remind everybody that's there, and that's all we'll probably say about that. We've got a post that I put on there a couple of weeks ago that we were looking for someone to help us produce the show. God love you if you were involved in producing this show, because it's going to be a nightmare. We've had some people express interest in that, and I really appreciate that.
Well, I'm going to do it for a while.
We will be contacting you guys and using you from time to time and kind of getting you involved with this. And if anybody else is still interested, give us a shout. Email us at show at neverwinternightspodcast. And I would still love to see somebody out there. I know we've got a lot of talent out there for creating graphics for games and stuff. I'd love anyone that has WordPress experience to give us a shout to maybe help us revamp a new skin for the website. So it's good. I'd like to get that started now. It would be kind of cool to start to hit October and have a new skin. That would be kind of cool. 1 year anniversary, we could kick a new skin in.
Wow, so close to 1 year.
Isn't it, though? It's that scary.
What kind of skin are you looking for?
A cool one.
One that doesn't radiate heat?
That'd be kind of cool. And Michelle and I were working tonight on getting a voicemail set up so that we can, instead of having audio messages, we can have people just call us on from Skype. And we can get your recorded audio questions. Or well, that's it for this week. If you have questions or comments, you can contact us at show@neverwinternightspodcast.com, or you can post it to our forums, checking out our new forums, of course, on the website at neverwinternightspodcast.com.
And as always, if you have a Mod Spotlight, please visit our Submit a Mod Spotlight page and tell us about your module or your game world, and we'll be happy to play it in a future episode.
Keep your eyes posted on our site for some of the changes that we've talked about coming up, like the new audio submission question and answer section and the new forums. Go check that out. And if you can't find the Frapper, just refresh.
So until next time, get in game and...
Level up, level up, level up, level up, level up, level up.
The opinions and viewpoints expressed on the Neverwinter Nights podcast are not necessarily those of Obsidian, BioWare, Atari, or their partners and employees. The Neverwinter Nights podcast is a production of These Old Geeks, which is solely responsible for its content.
Hello, I'm Trey, a.k.a. Ashikon Zelo.
And my ears hurt, and I'm Jay, a.k.a. Davika Naroda.
Your ears
Michelle,
hurt.
Michelle, a.k.a.
Liso. Why do your ears hurt?
Because that was really loud.
It was?
Yes. It's like, hey, I'm Trey. And it's like, ow. Trey, take your hands off your microphone stand. Or don't edit it, just let it go like it is. Who cares?
What were you saying?
Nothing.
Speaking of tips, you know, I miss your tips of the week.
You miss my tips of the week? Unfortunately, the only tip of the week I can think of right now would probably get me in trouble in about four languages. Or other countries, so I'm not going to do it.
Alrighty then.
Oh. Okay, you have to tell us that once we're done recording.
No. Yeah, something like that.
Yes, podcast is getting released on Friday the 13th.
Yes, episode 30 on.
Oh,
30.
So that's why you're letting Trey do the.
No.
Hey. That was not. That was actually uncalled for.
Oh, it was funny.
Has anybody posted to our. What's it called?
Frapper
map? In a while?
I have no idea.
Actually, I don't even see the. I don't even see the link anymore. Did you take it off?
Oh, maybe it did come off. I was working with some of the links earlier today.
I don't see it either.
You took off our Frapper Grabber?
How could you do that?
Well, actually, it was pretty easy. You just clicked a couple of buttons and toggled the visibility, and it goes away. Man.
Oh, you can hear that?
Yes. I don't know what you're talking about. It's right there on my screen.
Is it really?
Yeah, maybe you want to refresh.
He put it back on.
Hey, there it is. I guess I just didn't see it.
Yeah.
Could be.
Yeah, no new ones. It's kind of weird.
Like, quirky browser.
Like, nobody goes there anymore or something.
Chris, you never talk about it anymore, so.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, well.
I'm on there.
Yes, you are. I was just looking at your picture.
What is that you're wearing? Like a shawl?
I have a green t-shirt on.
No, not the picture I'm seeing.
Oh, you know what? Actually, I need that one removed because I moved. I put a new one on.
You did?
Uh-huh. You only check clothes when you move?
How'd you know? God. It's a good thing
I don't see one with a green shirt.
Oh.
It's in Kansas.
We have no pins in Kansas. Dorothy.
I see it.
There's no pins in Kansas, Dorothy.
Yes, there is. There most certainly is.
I don't see any.
Well, I see it.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Topeka, Kansas, USA. Hi, Liso.
That's funky. All right. You remember what our closings, we say in our closings?
Well, that's it for this week, and no, I guess I don't.
You only been reading it for 29 episodes.
Spank a monkey.